We are so glad that we can continue in our sermon series this morning, The People That God Uses. If you brought your Bible, I'd love for you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to be in chapter 5 and chapter 6 as well this morning. Joshua is the book of victory. It's an Old Testament book that describes the New Testament victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It's the book of victory. And as we read it, we can be assured of the victory that we have in Jesus. Last week we went through, and it was a great spirit-moving message and service last Sunday, as we had many respond. But last week we were challenged to build a memorial to our salvation. In chapter 4, you know, Joshua, they had crossed into the promised land. They had crossed the Jordan River. And God instructs them to build a memorial. And Joshua not only builds a memorial where he's going, but he builds a memorial where they were delivered. Where God used him to deliver his people across the Jordan River. Joshua actually builds a memorial there, and he builds a memorial where they're going. Last week we were talking about, listen, we may need to build multiple memorials in our lives. We need to understand that, you know what? We need to remember constantly, so we need to have memorials in our own lives. And we may not only need to build a memorial today, but we may need to build a memorial where we're going. Amen? We need to keep on keeping on. We have to remember. And here's the thing. Each week at Page Heights, I want us to leave with something. In our truth last week was that we need to build a memorial. But our truth this week, if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write it down. It's kind of a twofold message. It's kind of a twofold truth that we need to renew our faith and triumph through Jesus. This morning, as we read chapters 5 and 6, we need to renew our faith and triumph through Jesus. Joshua is now in the promised land, and he's looking toward the first of the cities that God has planned to give them in the land that he's promised. He's looking at Jericho. I feel sure that as he's there, you know, they're 5 miles away, but I know that they're in sight's distance, if you will. But listen, at this point in time, whenever we get to Joshua chapter 5, we can see that in the chapter 1, God tells Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous. He says, I'm going to be with you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He says, be strong and courageous multiple times. He says, I won't leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. And I love Joshua. I mean, Joshua stands up. He doesn't even hesitate. He knows that he's called. He knows that he can do it in the Lord's strength. And he immediately tells him in chapter 1, y'all get ready to go because the Lord's fixing to deliver us. He's fixing to take us where he's promised us. Y'all get ready to go because it's fixing to happen. And Joshua, I think that we see through the story in chapter 2 with the spies, and then in chapter 3 as they cross into the Jordan, and chapter 4 as he builds the memorial. I believe Joshua has been strong and courageous. Would you agree?
Amen.
He's done it. He's been strong and courageous. But I think that God, in this chapter, in chapter 5, his plan is not only for Joshua to be strong and courageous. I believe that God is ready to show his people, the people that Joshua is leading, he's ready for his people to be strong and courageous as well. He's ready for them to get ready to go and to be his people. As we read, that y'all can stay seated this morning because I'm going to kind of preach through it as I read. So normally we stand in the honor of God's word, but I'm going to kind of read a little bit this morning and kind of talk a little bit, read a little more, talk a little bit more. So if you would, just read with me in Joshua chapter 5, and we're going to begin this morning in verses 1 through 9. When all of the Amorite kings across the Jordan to the west and the Canaanite kings near the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, they lost heart and their courage failed because of the Israelites. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelite men again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelite men at Gibeath Haraloth. This is the reason Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness along the way after they had come up out of Egypt. Though all of the people who came out of Egypt were circumcised, none of the people born in the wilderness along the way were circumcised after they had come out of Egypt. For the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all the nation's men of war who had came out of Egypt had died off because they had not obeyed the Lord. So the Lord vowed never to let them see the land that he had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. He raised up their sons in their place, and it was these Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised, since they had not been circumcised along the way. After the entire nation had been circumcised, they stayed there until they were in the camp, until they recovered. The Lord then said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the disgrace of Egypt from you. Therefore, that place is still called Gilgal today." Now, I know that this can be an awkward, chapter. This can be a chapter that some pastors would pass right over and would choose not to talk about. But here's what I want us to hear in this scripture. What I want us to see is that when we renew our faith, God always reveals himself. See, what has happened is they have came across the Jordan River. And the reason that the generation before them didn't get to go, we read Numbers 13 and 14, where they were supposed to saddle up and go and take the promised land, but they decided not to. The spies who went, they came back and they decided that these guys are too big and too mighty. And the Lord finally said, "Okay, well, I'm lifting this away from you." And then whenever they finally mustered up the courage, it was too late. The God's favor was not with them, right? So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The men of God were circumcised when they came out of Egypt. You go back to Genesis chapter 17, you'll find the covenant of circumcision with Abraham, right? Abraham was told that he would be, that the descendants of him would be God's people, and that all of the males would be circumcised from that day on as part of the covenant. But what happened was, after these people didn't go into the promised land, they stopped doing what God had called them to do. You see, they had stopped doing many things. It wasn't just the circumcision, but the circumcision is important. And I'll tell you, if you were to look in Romans chapter 2 in verse 25, and you can write that down and visit that later on today. But Romans chapter 2 and verse 25, Paul tells us about the circumcision of the heart. You see, many Jews had knowledge that circumcision was important, but what they thought was that circumcision qualified them to be God's people. But actually, God had a purpose in circumcision. The reason that he wanted that covenant, the reason that covenant was so important, is so that the men would remember who they belonged to every day that they lived. Right? The men would know that they belonged to God, and every day they would be reminded that they're God's people. You know, I don't know about you, but I have a huge heart for men's ministry. And I know that whenever we reach the man of the household, that the family will be changed. That whenever you reach the man in the house, when that man gets up and he says, "You know what, we're getting up, we're going to church, y'all get ready." It happens. God knows how. Look, there's no mistake in God's word. God is telling Abraham in Genesis 17, "Whenever you are my people, from now on, all the men will be circumcised." And the reason that is because he knew that if that man was reminded every single day, that he would lead that family in a way that honored him. It's important to God, and it should be important to us. But listen, I don't think as much about circumcision as the way that Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 2 and verse 25 and following. He's talking about the circumcision of the heart. He's saying the Jewish men at that time in Rome had this knowledge that, hey, if you're not uncircumcised, you can't be part of this church, or you can't be part of this certain congregation. And Paul is saying, listen, in today we can think about baptism. Why they say, well, if you ain't baptized, then you ain't saved. But we know that there's no saving, purifying minerals in that water. That is just an outward sign of an inward emotion. All that does through baptism, all it does is show people what's happening in your life. The same thing Paul's saying, that what we need is to have a circumcised heart. That our heart on the inside, that it would, what happens on the inside ultimately shows on the outside. So today I want you to see through this scripture, as we read it in the context that it was written in, that as these people walk across on dry land, and on the other side they set up a memorial and say that God has delivered me, God's saying, listen, not only do you realize that I'm the one who's delivered you, but I need you to go back to where we were. I need you to come back to the covenant. I need you to come back to circumcision. I need you to go back and do things that we agreed on in the beginning, so that you can remember every day of your life that you are my people, right? That I am with you. I don't know about you, but I need to renew my faith every day. I need to renew my faith every day. And that's what God is trying to tell us. Just like Paul was talking about the circumcised heart, that our hearts must be changed, and we must realize the change that happened in us every single day. There's not a day that goes by. Y'all listen to me. As your pastor, I am no different than you are. There are days in my life that I feel like that I may not make it to the end of. There are days in my life where I feel like I need to turn around and I need to go right back home and go to bed. There are days in my life where I'm like, I don't know that one more thing could go wrong in my life today. There are days in my life where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make ends meet. I don't know if we're going to make it through this financial situation. There are days in my life where I think, you know what? If one more thing goes wrong, I'm going to quit. We all have those thoughts. We're all human, but I just want to put that right forth to you, because God is calling us to renew our faith. He wants you to renew your faith. And listen, there are days that I had to stop what I'm doing and pray. Amen. There's days in my life where I need to stop what I'm doing and I need to get in the Word. You know, there's a book by Billy Graham that sits in between the chairs in my office. My mom read it this week. She said, that's a really good book. And I was like, you know what? I need that book more than anybody else here. Some days I got to shut my door in my office and I got to sit down and I got to read that book so I can find the hope that I know is true. Every day I need to renew my faith. And that's what this is about. When they get to the other side of that river and he says, you know what? Here's what you need to do first. All these men need to take care of this, because this will remind them each and every day that y'all belong to me. I love, too, in verse 9, it says, the Lord then said to Joshua, after all these men had been circumcised, it says that they stayed in the camp till they were covered in verse 8. In verse 9, it says, the Lord then came to Joshua, and he says, today I have rolled away the disgrace of Egypt from you. Another foreshadowing of Jesus. Right, I don't know about you, but you can see the stone rolling away. Amen. Right, that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and he was buried for 3 days, and on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and we are no longer in the disgrace of our sins. Amen. Amen. Listen. You might say, Pastor, really? Are you telling me that 2,000 years before Jesus walked the earth, that they're putting this in here? And I'm telling you, absolutely. I'm telling you, you can go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, starting in verse 1. You can read this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 tells us for the next 9 verses why. Paul tells us that we must learn from the Old Testament what Jesus is doing in our lives right now. We must know. And that's what this is all about, that when we renew our faith, when we're reminded whose we belong to, that God will reveal himself. I don't know about y'all, but whenever I'm feeling like I'm not going to make it through the day, when I need my faith renewed, when I finally stop and I pray and I finally stop and I rely on Him, it changes the entire outlook of my situation. He shows up. He always does. Right? Because every day, whenever I go to Him, when I stop and I renew my faith, I can find His strength. I can find His courage. I can find His provision. I can find His love. And listen to this. Most of all, I can find His view. I find His outlook on my situation, and it changes mine. Amen. We must know what God is doing in our lives. We must renew our faith each and every day. We must know whose we are. Look at verse 10 through 12. The next three verses, 10, 11, and 12. While the Israelites camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month. The day the Passover, they ate the day after Passover, they ate unleavened bread and roasted grain from the produce of that land. And the day after, they ate from the produce of the land. The manna ceased. Since there was no more manna for the Israelites, they ate from the crops of the land of Canaan that year. You know, it says food from the land, that's what it's labeled in my Bible in chapter 5. And if you're not paying attention, you would almost miss it. But here's what's happened. Not only did they quit circumcising the men, they quit observing Passover. Right, this is the implication that they had not been observing Passover each and every year like they were supposed to do. Well, what was Passover? Why did they observe Passover? They observed Passover because it was the fact that God's hand protected them from being destroyed. Right, the Passover, before they were taken out of Egypt, The death angel came over the houses, and listen, each and every year they're supposed to observe Passover so that they could remember that God protected them because they are God's people. Once again, they had gotten away from remembering whose they were. Another thing that you would miss if you're not paying close attention is that when they stopped thinking about themselves, whenever they stopped and they remembered whose they were, they remembered the covenant that they had been promised. They remembered that God did bring them to the promised land. They renewed their vows. They renewed the covenant. And then they observed the Passover. Something happened. I don't know about y'all, but one of the worst things that could ever happen to me, if you ever want to torture me, make me eat the same thing just for 5 days in a row. Right? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that would get old really quick. These folks had eaten manna for 40 years. They had eaten the same thing day in and day out. Well, one thing that happened whenever they quit thinking about themselves, when they quit being self-focused and they started glorifying God, look what happened. Not only did God honor that, not only did God renew the covenant, not only was God faithful, but God also provided for them abundantly. He gave them something that they had no idea was coming. Listen, it says not only did that day were they able to eat from the grain and the produce in verse 11, but in verse 12 it says, and the day after they ate from the produce of the land, the manna ceased, and since there was no more manna for the Israelites, they ate from the crops of the land all that year. I want to submit to you this morning that if you stop looking inwardly, if you renew your faith in Christ, if you go to Him each and every day, not only will He give you what you need, because listen, He never quit giving. God never quit providing for the Israelites. Right? It says that there was no more manna. He had provided for them even when they were not faithful. Think about that. He had always provided, even in their unfaithfulness. But after they were faithful, when they renewed their vows, when they renewed their faith, God started providing for them abundantly. And He started giving them more than they could ever ask or imagine. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. That that's what can happen in our own lives. That we too, sometimes, just an illustration so we can apply it to our own lives. We say things like, well, Pastor, I hear you say I need to build a memorial in my own life. Well, I don't even have time some days to cook dinner. I don't even have time some days to go to the grocery. I don't even have time some days to do this, that, or the other. I definitely don't have time to build a memorial. What I want you to see is that whenever you take, when you carve out time for God first, when you carve out time to renew your faith, when you carve out time to honor God in your life, He will not only provide for you all those things that you think you can't get done, but He will provide for you in a way that you, that's far greater than you could ever ask or imagine.
That's right.
It's true. And that's what God wants us to see in this. Because these people's, the generation before them had gotten away from what God had asked them to do. And they had lost out on all the promises of God. And God provided for them. But they had missed out on so many blessings. So we need to renew our faith each and every day. And I don't know about y'all, but I need that. I will not make it to the end if I do not renew my faith each and every day.
Amen.
I need to have a circumcised heart. In the next verses, at the end of chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, we find the commander of the Lord's army. So Joshua's right there on the outskirts of Jericho. He's out in the field. He knows he's going to conquer. He knows. And listen, Joshua's been strong and courageous. Right? All the people have renewed their covenant. All the people have observed Passover. They are now saying, we're God's people. We're ready to go. Joshua, we're with you. You've been strong and courageous. We're ready to be strong and courageous. We're ready to go. What do we do? But let's be honest. Jericho's, it's huge. Now, it took them over an hour to go around it. We know what happens in chapter 6. But listen, you know those walls were huge. Those walls were fortified. You know that Joshua is outside going, how in the world am I about to lead these people and conquer this city? Right? He's got to be, y'all know what I'm saying? It's got to be crossing his mind. He's out there and he's looking around and he's probably like, okay, God, I need you to show up. I need you to do something here because there's no way that I'm going to conquer this city on my own. He's looking over the city and it's big and it's fortified. It's old. It's established. He knows it has an army. He knows that there's soldiers in there. He knows that there's a king. He knows that they're prepared. He knows that all these things are true about this city. And he knows that he has God on his side. But you know there's got to be some doubt inside there. Amen? I mean, he's human. He's looking at that city and he's going, how in the world? I'm going to tell you something else. It was inside those walls. It was large. And it was great in wickedness. It was great in immorality. And it was great in godlessness. They were far away from the Lord on the inside of those walls. But I want you to look, whenever he's thinking about all these things, look at verse 13. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up from and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and he asked, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Neither, he replied. I have now come as commander of the Lord's army. Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in worship and asked him, what does my Lord want to say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet, for this place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did just that. See, God knows exactly what we need, and he knows exactly when we need it. He knew that he needed to see him there. He knew that Joshua would never have the strong enough faith to know that whatever he was going to ask him to do, it would work. And I tell you what, just like Moses looking in that burning bush, whenever Moses saw the burning bush, he knew that it was God. Right, whenever the burning bush spoke to him, there was not a doubt in his mind what God was telling him to do. That's why Moses fought back and he's like, you got to pick somebody else. I can't even speak real well. There's got to be somebody else you can use. I can't do this. And then God's like, oh yeah, you can. And Joshua, he sees God in the flesh. And listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, God in the flesh in my mind is Jesus. I believe it's Jesus standing there, right? It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus standing right before Joshua. Then he says he's the commander of the Lord's army, an angel of the Lord's army. And when he's there, sword drawn, Joshua says, "Are you on our side or are you on their side?" He didn't know exactly who he was, but he said, "Whose side are you on?" And Jesus looks at him and he says, "I haven't come to take sides. I've come to take over."
Amen.
"I have not come to take sides. I've come to take over." That's what all this is about. You are my people. We've renewed the covenant and I'm here. I'm God in the flesh and I'm not here to take sides. I'm here for everybody. I'm not here to take sides. And I'm telling you, in our lives, we need to renew our faith. We need to triumph through Jesus. Jesus is standing right here before him, and he has an opportunity to believe him for what he's saying, and he does. In chapter 6, the Lord tells him exactly what to do, and he does it, and he conquers the land. But I want to just submit to you this morning that if you're trying to get victory in your life, you need to stop trying to get God on your side. Stop trying to get God on your side and get on God's side.
Amen.
Because that's where victory is. See, God didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And that's what, whenever we renew our faith, we will find victory. We can renew our faith and we can have triumph through Jesus. That Jesus is the power. In the very beginning of this sermon series, the people that God uses, if we're going to be the people that God uses, God's plan has always been to use us. And the power by which he's going to use is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, if we're going to be the people that God uses, we have to renew our faith each and every day. And we can triumph through Jesus. Y'all don't get nervous because I'm not going to keep y'all here till 1:30 and read all of chapter 6. As a matter of fact, most preachers would have skipped chapter 5 and they would have went right to chapter 6. Because we all know that the Lord tells them that y'all need to circle the city on the seventh day. You'll circle 7 times and the priest will blow the horns in a certain way. And then there'll be a loud shout and the walls will come crumbling down. We all know that that's what happens. Right? That that's what most preachers would preach. But I'm going to tell you, here's the reason why I preach chapter 5. And we're going to skip the meat of chapter 6 in a story that we all know. It's because I believe that the victory comes in the preparation.
Amen.
The victory is in chapter 5. The victory does not happen without chapter 5. There is no chapter 6 without chapter 5.
Amen.
The victory comes in the preparation. So if you don't renew your faith, if you don't remember whose you are, if you don't visit the Lord every day, if you don't rely on his strength, and you don't rely on his courage, and you don't rely on his plans, if you don't rely on his provisions, if you don't know that he's going to give you abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine, then you are going to miss the blessings and you will never triumph through Jesus.
Come on.
The victory comes in the preparation. The victory is in chapter 5, although you read about it in chapter 6. Do you see it? I also want to use chapter 6 for the invitation today, because there's a great picture, once again, of Jesus. At the end of chapter 6, now listen, in chapter 2, we heard about a lady named Rahab. She's in the Hall of Faith because of the choices that she made. When the spies came, she chose to choose God. They all knew. Listen, in the beginning of chapter 6, if you read the first verse, it says that they saw that nobody was entering the city or leaving it. That's the reason that I believe in chapter 5 that they're within sight's distance of Jericho. That they can see it because they already see that nobody's coming or going. Right, that the city shut up. That the city knows that they're fixing to be handed over, that the waters were cut off, and that God's people walked across the Jordan River. They know all this, and that's why it's fortified, it's shut up, nobody's coming or going. But there's something else. Rahab is on the inside, and she agreed with the spies that Joshua sent, that everyone here knows that this city is going to be handed over to y'all. The spies couldn't really believe their ears, I'm sure, as she tells them that. But she almost starts negotiating. She says, will you please find favor on me and my family? When y'all come and God gives y'all this city, please find favor on my family. And they do that. What happens here at the end, God does hand them the city. God is faithful. But I want you to see what happens to Rahab's family. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. In verse 20, let's read chapter 6, verse 20. I'm going to read this to us through verses 25. So the troops shouted, and the trumpet sounded, and when they heard the blast of the trumpet, the troops gave a loud shout, and the wall collapsed. The troops advanced into the city, and each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. They completely destroyed everything in the city with the sword. And every man and woman, both young and old, and every ox and sheep and donkey. Joshua said to the two men who had scouted the land, go to the prostitute's house and bring the woman out here, out of there, and all who are with her, just as you swore with her. So the young men who had scouted went in and brought out Rahab and her father, mother, brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out the whole family and settled them outside the camp of Israel. They burned the city and everything in it. They put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. However, Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, her father's family, and all who belonged to her because she hid the messengers Joshua had sent to spy on Jericho. And she still lives in Israel today. What a beautiful picture of salvation. Joshua is the Old Testament Jesus. As a matter of fact, the name, when you translate it into English, is the same name, Yehoshua. Joshua and Jesus. God's word is complete. There are no flaws in it. Amen? And we can see plainly that these people who chose faith, who chose God, the Old Testament Jesus says, go in there and get them and bring them to me. He says, come and bring them to me and I'll make sure that they live and that they will be spared. You bring them out, the people who made the covenant, the people who chose faith, the people who chose God. And that's the same thing that we have, that we can choose. If you see here, it says it burnt the city and everything in it. When we choose Jesus in our lives, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what a beautiful picture that you can see in this, because whenever Jesus returns to the earth, when Jesus comes back, all that have not placed their faith in Him will spend eternity in a place called hell. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, see, whenever our Heavenly Father, sin and judgment cannot be separated. And just like this city that was fortified and it was old and established, but it was also wicked and immoral and godless. But there was this one family, Rahab's family, who had chose God. And that's the same thing that will happen in our lives. There will be a time when Jesus returns and each and every one of us who belongs to Jesus will go to heaven because He will protect us. He died for our sins. If there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to sing here in a moment. And as we sing, we would love for you to come forth and give your life to Jesus Christ, that you can be saved from a real place called hell. This morning, I was just overwhelmed this week as I was reading this scripture. And as the realization came that many of us have a Jericho in our own lives, that there is something that stands between us and the dreams of our youth, and also something that stands between us and the will of God in our lives. just like Jericho came tumbling down, when Joshua renewed his faith, when the people of God renewed their faith, God showed up and he took them into the land of promise. This morning, you may already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but there may be a Jericho in your own life. This morning, as the invitation is being sung, you may need to come forth and say, Brad, I need to renew my faith, and I need to find God each and every day in my life, and there's a Jericho in my life that needs to come tumbling down. For some of us, our Jericho could be an unhealthy body. It could be an unhappy marriage. It could be an unholy life. For some of us, it could be old age, a lack of education. It could be past defeats. It could be fear. You see, a Jericho in your life can be like a wall, a fortress that seems like it's too tall for you to see over. See, you know that God has a plan for your life. You know that God wants you to do something in your life, but that Jericho almost stands there laughing at you, saying, if it wasn't for me, you would have made it. You would have been successful in whatever God had planned for you. There may be a dream that you had from your youth, and that Jericho needs to come tumbling down. And I believe that that's also why it's important that we come to church. Because coming to church, even each and every Sunday, changes our perspective. That when we come here, we can get our faith renewed, and listen, we can see over the wall. When you don't come to church, the wall begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And listen, you can no longer even see the plan that God has for your life. But that's why it's important that we come here each and every Sunday, so that we can see clearly that God can raise us up each and every week. Just like I need Sunday night, I need Wednesday night, because it gives me that uplift in the middle of the week so that I can see over that wall. So that I can see what God has in store for me. So this morning, it's a twofold message. Just like Jesus will save you from that fiery place called hell, Jesus, when you put your faith in Him, when you know that He paid the penalties for your sins, you can come and you can receive salvation, that He will save you from destruction. But not only that, but this morning, you may want to come forth and you may want to receive prayer and say, you know what, Pastor? I need to renew my faith today. I need to know that I'm going where God has in store for me. I need to know that this unholy life that's holding me back. You know, the enemy's telling me that old age is holding me back, that my lack of education is holding me back, that the past defeats in my life are holding me back. Whatever it is, none of those things can hold you back, because when you depend and you renew your faith, you can triumph through Jesus. Today, you can renew your faith and you can triumph through Jesus. Last thing, you may want to write this down before we pray and sing. Faith. Faith is the only thing that will link your nothingness to God's almightiness. Faith is the only thing that can link your nothingness to God's almightiness. So this morning, I'm going to pray. Bob will be down here. I'll be down here. If you want to come and you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If you'd like to receive Jesus, we'd love to celebrate with you. There's no one here who will judge. All we want to do is celebrate as you renew your faith this morning.